you think about self-care as meditation retreats and lazy Sundays and eating ice cream, it's basically just indulgence. Even people going shopping throw up the hashtag self-care. But the version of you that your kids, that your family, that society needs is the best version of you. It's the version of you that's full of energy and zest. It's the version that gets home from work and wants to do things, not just sit down with a drink in front of the TV. The better you are, the better you, the world gets to experience. That means that self-care is not selfish. Hello, my fellow humans, and welcome back to another episode of the Healthy, Happy Human Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Levitin, and every week I bring you discussions on topics to help you build a healthy mind, a happy body, and hopefully become an all-around better human. Because a rising tide raises all ships, and better humans make a better humanity. Remember, we're all in this together. If you want to keep on this journey with me, you can subscribe to the Healthy Happy newsletter, a weekly Friday email where I send out tips and tidbits of the things that I've been learning about, and powerful quotes and just general helpful resources that I think will help you on your journey. It's completely free, and the link to register is in the show notes. If while you're listening today, you're enjoying what you hear, take a second and snap a quick screenshot and upload it to Instagram and tag me at Paul Levitin so I can share in your enthusiasm and repost it to my audience. It really makes my day to see these. And if you get value from today's show, don't forget to share this episode with a friend or family member so that they can get some value along with you. And with that, it's time to start today's episode. Let's go and let's grow. Is self-care selfish? That's the question I want to answer today. Self-care is a big buzzword these days. So first, what even is it? To start, we need to differentiate between self-care and self-love. A lot of people use these interchangeably, but they're different things. Self-love is a way of treating yourself, which can include things like self-talk and your internal feelings and beliefs towards yourself. Self-care is about actions and the actions that you can take to benefit yourself. Sometimes lack of action can also be action. So things like rest fall into this category as well. And therefore, self-care can be a type of self-love, but they are not the same thing. And I think we all agree that self-love is important. People realize that our self-talk and internal dialogue should tend to be positive. You hear all the time things like, people will say, you wouldn't talk to your best friend like that, so don't talk to yourself like that. And of course, I'm on board. I've talked about self-love before, and it's a topic that I'm sure I'll cover again. But today I want to talk about self-care. Because as I said in the definition, inherent in self-care is that it is an actual action. It takes doing. It takes time, energy, sometimes even money. And because of that, because to participate in self-care, one must spend time, spend energy, spend money on oneself, the question can arise for some people, is it selfish to participate in self-care? You know, clearly you can't only think about yourself all the time. You have responsibilities. So how can you justify taking time off from work or spending money on yourself if you're a parent or a boss, or even if you have siblings or parents or anyone else in your life, or even if you just have to support yourself financially, and that alone is enough of a struggle? Where do we draw the line? I recently asked a men's group on Facebook that I'm a part of, when is the last time you did something solely for yourself? And I specifically didn't even phrase it about self-care because I didn't want to be too polarizing. I kept it super general. When's the last time you did something just for you? In a group of over 100,000 men, the results were pretty surprising. There were some guys who talked about, you know, going to the gym. Some worked on their cars, ride motorcycles. There were gamers, guys who liked to smoke a joint after work. But far and away, the vast majority, nearly half of the responding men, said something along the lines of, I don't ever do something just for myself, or never. And that was pretty wild to me. over 100 individual responses, a little over 40 said that they literally have nothing that they do for themselves. And when asked why, most of these guys were dads. And they said that, well, they spend their time working and providing for their family. Some were entrepreneurs, and they said that they had to spend their time in their business. Some guys were just not doing anything, period. But this led to a conversation about men and their role in society and the household. And many of the guys in this group wanted to use that as the reasoning, as an excuse. They said things like, well, this is just how it is. The man works. No one appreciates us. We've got to work to support the family. And obviously, in a group full of men, that sentiment got a lot of love. But personally, I don't buy it. Personally, I don't subscribe to societal gender norms, mostly because I don't really care for society, nor do I care for norms. So I don't think they've gotten much else right, and I don't think that this is where they're going to start. So, you know, guys said like, well, men are just supposed to work and provide. We can't have time for ourselves. And I'm like, who said so? But where did this law come from? Who made these rules? Right? Again, I call bullshit. Because honestly, putting the blame on society, saying that's just how it is honestly just passing the buck. It's just a lazy form of self-flagellation. Because the alternative, like having hard conversations with your spouse or partner about expectations around work and money, that's actually work. That's uncomfortable. And, you know, to be fair, that's also not what we're taught to do, either as men or as people. So, I mean, I don't look down on anyone for not choosing that road, because a lot of people don't even realize it exists. But the point is that there's always another option. And then, talking about men, let's flip the script. Because that was a men's health group. The vast majority of the men said they don't do anything for themselves. And that it had to be that way because they were providers, because that's how society sees men. So what do you think happened when I posed a similar question in a group that a friend of mine moderates on Facebook with tens of thousands of women in it? Do you think they said, I do self-care all the time. I take myself for mani-pedis and I relax in a bubble bath, sipping wine every night. I mean, like, some did. Women had just as many hobbies as men. They enjoyed doing lots of things, from getting massages to Brazilian jiu-jitsu to weightlifting to crocheting. The results were, again, all over the place. But the one commonality was that in just about the same proportion as men, a little less than half of the women who responded said that they felt that they had no outlet for self-expression, nothing that they do on their own for their own good. And why, when asked? What was the reason? Well, they didn't have time. Their moms, their bosses, their mom bosses. Society doesn't just let moms do whatever they want. They have the hardest job in the world. Are you starting to see a trend here? I'm not trying to talk down on moms, dads, workers, bosses, anyone else. I just think it's interesting that both sides of the gender divide see this as a gender issue. In reality, I see this as a human issue. And all the energy we spent bickering over who's to blame and who's the bigger victim can actually be spent on figuring out what do we do to get out of this trap. And make no mistake, it is a trap. The busyness trap. And it's a sinister one. And in reality, it's a byproduct of the consumer economy that we live in. And if you aren't careful, this trap will suck you in, and you're more likely to end up broke and broken than you are to actually be able to break free. Right? All of these people, the men, the women, everyone in between, they felt that they were 100% correct in their assertion that they could not take time for themselves, that they had to work with every waking hour of their lives. Why? Because, well, money. Money, 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 right? Money, 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 money. It's the root of all evil? Maybe. But in reality, in today's society, to most people, money is just the root of everything. And there's reasons behind that. Money is real. Money is important. Money is what makes the world go round. So it's easy to think that we must do more for money and that we can't stop until we've gotten more of it and all of it. So, you know, the people who told me they don't do anything for themselves, many of them said it was because they had to make money. They had no time. They had no energy. These were excuses. But in reality, lack of time, lack of energy is still just choosing money, because that's where they're spending their time and their energy that they do have, on making money. They had to provide. They have kids. They have older parents. They have employees. These people depend on them. Therefore, to these people, it is their ethical responsibility to make money and to take any time that they could have for themselves, you know, that something that they could use on something silly like self-care or mental health. And if they did that, that would be selfish. And this dichotomy, that financial gain is good and that anything else is secondary, is one of the biggest disservices and the most harmful things in our society as a whole. Because we love things to be in neat little boxes. We want to know yes or no, this or that. We want things to be simple. But life is messy, and this conversation is no exception. Because yes, you need money, but you also need to live. What good is all the money in the world if it comes at the cost of your health or of living your actual life? This may seem like a stretch, but when, you know, 70% of America is overweight and the leading cause of death is heart disease, and the main thing that people tend not to do when saying they can't find time to take care of themselves are things like exercise, grocery shop, cook for themselves, well then we can actually see that it's not that far of a leap to make. Because it's simply not work hard, work more, make more money, provide a better life. That sounds good, but what about what you're giving up? What about the time missed with your family when you're working? What about being so tired and overworked that when you are home, you aren't able to be present and pay attention to your partner and your kids? And what about the strife that that leads to when compounded over years and the fractured relationships? See, once we dig into the details, we see that nothing is so straightforward. It's not so black and white. Because on one hand, again, we know that money is important. Work is important. It is important to do for others. But at the same time, we must admit that only chasing money, only chasing output, only doing for others is equally a recipe for disaster. You know, as the airplane wisdom goes, you must secure your mask first before you can help anyone else, right? You can't pour from an empty cup. When it comes to living and giving, it is time and energy, not money, that is our most crucial resource. So in order to break out of this consumerism trap, the first thing you have to do is to get honest with yourself. Do you need more? Do you need more money? Do you need more things? Now, obviously, everyone needs money, but the question is, do you actually need the extra money that you might get from working more? Is the trade-off worth it? And when I say need, the distinction that we're trying to draw is it a need or would it simply be nice to have? Most people are doing things not because they need the money, but more because they feel they have to. They feel that they should. They feel obligated because of societal pressure. Things like putting food on your table, paying your bills, those are needs. Adding a fifth streaming service to your list of monthly subscriptions probably is not. And again, I get it. You know, it's very hard to watch your neighbors getting a nicer car and getting gifts for their toys and affording all of this stuff. And you, if you are not able to avoid those things and provide those things, but again, that does not make them real. These are just obligations placed upon you by society. And keeping up with the Joneses will actually keep you broke, overworked, and unhappy, and possibly depressed. But what if you really do need the money, right? Then would it be fair to say that you can't possibly prioritize self-care? Because, I mean, if you need the money, then you have to work as much as possible. So it would literally be sacrificing the food off of your own table. But even then, it's not so simple. Because providing is important. It's the most important thing we can do at times. But are we sure that the only options are to either provide for your family or to take care of yourself? Because in reality, there's always a middle ground. And I think a lot of the confusion comes from the way we think about self-care. If you think about self-care as meditation retreats and lazy Sundays and eating ice cream, it's basically just indulgence. Even people going shopping throw up the hashtag self-care whenever they're having a nice shopping spree in the mall. But this is, again, a false narrative that comes from our capitalist consumer society. It's created. This is not an accident. It's trying to trick you into a false belief that the only way you can care for yourself is by spending money. Spa days, first class tickets, five-star restaurants, hashtag self-care. These things seem luxurious, and yes, they are relaxing, but understand that it's a cog in the machine that is meant to keep you overworked, broke, and hooked on the system, hooked like a crack addict. And this is why people feel that they are wrong for self-care, because work is making money for your family, and you see self-care as spending money, your hard-earned money that is no longer able to go to your family, and usually spending lots of it. So first thing we have to do is understand that self-care does not have to be about spending money. It probably shouldn't be. It can be, right? There's definitely times where you are going to have to spend on certain things, but money is not the root of happiness. It feels like having more money can bring you happiness because more money equals more things. But things don't make us happy. Things are not what your children need. In my experience, most kids want a mom who is present, not a mom who's flush with cash. Most older parents want their adult kids to come visit. They don't care if they do it in a Tesla or a Honda. They want their kids to call more, regardless of if it's on the newest iPhone or not. You know, you may think you're doing your kids a disservice by not being able to afford every single toy they want, but the reality is you are certainly doing them a disservice by coming home so tired and disconnected and burned out that you can't pay attention to them or that you can't play with them on the weekends. That is a fact. The version of you that your kids, that your family, that society needs is the best version of you. It's the version of you that's full of energy and zest. It's the version that gets home from work and wants to do things, not just sit down with a drink in front of the TV. The better you are, the better you, the world, gets to experience. That means the best thing that you can do for the world, for your kids, for your family, for your coworkers, your employees, is to be the best version of yourself. That means that self-care is not selfish. It is actually your moral obligation. But again, we have to draw a distinction here and clearly define what self-care is, because people have taken liberties with the term self-care and can often use it more as an excuse than actually as a tool to help themselves. Right? Anything that is indulgent, over the top, or sometimes even flat out lazy just gets the label self-care. Ice cream is self-care. Skipping the gym is self-care. Forgoing commitments to stay in and watch Netflix, self-care. I think that's a big mistake. This is not self-care so much as it is just masturbation. It's just pleasuring yourself. It's doing whatever you feel like in the moment to feel good for the sake of feeling good, regardless of the expense or the fallout down the road. And that's the distinction. You know, Adam Gilbert, who was on episode 55 titled Put an End to Self-Sabotage, he put it perfectly in one of his newsletters when he was making a distinction between eating indulgently and self-care. And he said, eating indulgently isn't self-care because self-care doesn't make us feel bad afterwards. Something that feels good in the moment but ultimately makes us feel bad is something that makes us feel bad. Something that might not feel good in the moment but ultimately makes us feel good, like exercise, is something that makes us feel good. And I love that distinction. Self-care is not simply whatever feels good right now. It is what you need to do to allow yourself the grace and the space to feel better, to be better, to do better, not just in this current moment, but in the future. Eating McDonald's or a whole cheesecake might feel good in the moment, but it is not self-care because it makes you feel shitty after, both physically and mentally. And it also negatively affects your health. That's not very caring. Self-care is taking better care of yourself so that you can take better care of others. That means taking time to exercise is self-care. A healthy you will be around for decades more to play with your kids and your grandkids. Skipping exercise, although it feels good in the moment, is not really caring about yourself or others. You know, that means that learning to cook more healthy meals, doing more grocery shopping, that is self-care, even though in the moment it takes more energy and more time. It is an investment that will make you and everyone around you's life better. What could be more caring than that? And that means that taking off time when needed, going on vacation, taking mental health days, can be self-care. Just remember that it's less about taking time to travel first class to Bali and spending money, and more about using that time to rest, to recharge, and to be more present with yourself and your loved ones. Because the version of you that comes back from time off refreshed and recharged is the version that the world needs. I can guarantee you, your highest you, the you that your kids will tell their kids about, is not the one who prioritizes work over everything else, all for the sake of just having more money in the bank or being able to afford more things. Again, there's nuance in all things, right? I can't give you a black and white answer. Skipping the gym because you don't feel like it is not self-care, it's actually self-harm. But planning to take a rest weekend because you've exercised enough this week and your body needs rest and recovery, that is self-care. To go to the extreme and just say more exercise, gotta work out, can't rest, again, in that instance, that is self-harm, not care. The devil, it seems, is in the dosage. We need money, but when we seek it at the expense of all else, we do a disservice to those around us. Health is important. But when we become so exercise obsessed to the point of actually damaging your body, or when you're so hyper-focused on eating healthy that you'll no longer enjoy social or family time, you know, that actually becomes unhealthy. And this, again, goes from self-care to self-harm. The same thing that can benefit you can also harm you. You have to learn where to draw that line. As I mentioned earlier, we like things to have simple answers. Yes or no. Is this good or is it bad? But again, unfortunately, the universe does not care what we want, and things are not so simple. So self-care is certainly not selfish, as long as you're doing it for the right reasons. And this is where personal honesty comes into play. You have to think, why am I doing this? In episode 78, titled I Quit, I spoke about when is it okay to quit something. And the point I made was it's all about the reasoning. And it's the same thing here. If you're using self-care days as an excuse to not work, to not move forward, then obviously you're hustling backwards. If, however, something leaves you feeling energized, improves your life, not only in the short term, but in the long term, how can that be a bad thing? A better you is better for everyone else and everyone around you. That is true self-care. And that is not selfish. Before I let you go, a lot of what I talked about today has to do with our mindset around money. This is a huge topic and one of the key components of my slump methodology of self-sabotage. Money mindset is an entire week in my self-sabotage course, so if you want to learn more, I put a link in the show notes for a free masterclass that will help you understand money mindset and how it leads to self-sabotage. All right, that's it for today. I hope you got a ton of value out of this episode and enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed making it. If you did and you want to show support, you can screenshot this and upload it to Instagram and tag me at Paul Levitin. You can share this episode with a friend or family member to spread the love and spread the knowledge. Or you can leave the show an honest rating and review on Apple, iTunes, or now Spotify as well. If you've made it this far, I sincerely thank you for being here and being along on this journey with me. Until next week, stay happy, stay healthy, my friend.